As you remain standing, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we live in a non-stop, fast-paced world. Stores are open 7 days a week. We can shop online 24 hours a day. Thanks to wireless technology, we can respond to work email on the train, on the plane, at our cottage. As a society, we're chronically sleep-deprived, sleep experts tell us, including children. I'll rest when I'm dead, we laugh, as though resting were a sign of weakness instead of a sign of wisdom. But Scripture tells us that as creatures made in the image of God, we were made for rest. On the seventh day, Scripture tells us God rested from his labor, and he declared this rest holy. And so in answer to the question that we've been asking the last 2 weeks, what are God's good purposes for time? We answer, time is for rest, or at least there is a proper time for rest. Now, of course, we know we need to rest. If we don't rest, we crash eventually. Juan Carlos Lerman, who was a researcher at the University of Arizona, has done extensive studies on our biological need for rest every seventh day. He argues that our human bodies actually operate on a 25-hour cycle, and that we need to recover from this enforced 24-hour day, or we suffer the consequences of insomnia and sleeplessness, hormonal imbalances, irritability, and so on. It's as though he said that God has actually created a biological need in our bodies for rest on the seventh day. The Sabbath was created for man, Jesus said, and there at the heart is the substance of this commandment. The Sabbath is as much a gift as it is a command. John Calvin, who was the first Presbyterian, and who is one of the people behind that exhausting Protestant work ethic, he said this, work is good, work is good. But when we work all the time, work becomes a curse, not a blessing. Heard it from the man himself, the guy who was part of the Protestant work ethic. That being said, I want to acknowledge that as much as the Sabbath is a gift, I think it's one of the Ten Commandments that we struggle to keep. And although I think it's particularly true in our society for all the reasons I gave at the beginning, keeping this commandment has been a struggle for humans right from the get-go. Scripture makes clear that resting is a kind of discipline, because it's something that doesn't come naturally to us. Think about the Jews. The rabbis built all these laws around the Sabbath because they knew the human tendency is to resist rest. I remember Tess, when we would put her into her crib for naps, her approach to sleep was to race around the crib, and then we would find her a little bit later with her bum in the air where she had sort of just keeled over like a collapsing tower. We resist rest as humans. Learning to rest isn't easy. We only rest one day in seven. And again, I do realize that in our society, we've kind of built things up so that rest is all the more difficult. In this difficult economy, we can be afraid to rest because we want to show that we are indispensable. For others of us, you know, our identity is kind of wrapped up in our work. And who are we when we're not working? And for everyone who works long hours during the week and the weekend kind of spills into unpaid work, it can be really hard to rest if you don't like living in a mess and unfinished household projects. So this might be why God, as a loving parent who knows his children well, makes keeping the Sabbath not a divine suggestion, but a divine command. I'm not saying that it's easy to honor the Sabbath. I know I need to grow a lot in the area. I'm just saying that God commands it, and that the Sabbath is good. So what's the purpose of the Sabbath, for us, that Sunday? And how do we keep the Sabbath? If I were to try to summarize what the Sabbath rest is about, I would say it's about three things. It is about resting, but it's also about rediscovering, and lastly, it's about just refreshment. So rest, that one's obvious. For the Jews, what should not be done on the Sabbath was work. And there was a lot of debate in Jesus' day about what constituted work. What actually are we talking about when we're talking about work? And basically where they landed was that anything is work that requires changing the material world. So 6 days a week, the Jews would till the soil, the material world. They would carry water. They would burn brush. They would hammer timber, and so on. But on the seventh day, they were to let creation be. Does it make sense? They were to let the creation be. They were to stop being little creators made in the image of God, and they were to be creatures, just creatures. Creatures before God, the Creator. On the seventh day, we were invited to rest from doing and to focus on being. The Jews were also expected, get this, to stop thinking and worrying about things to do with work and commerce. Not only was one's body to rest, but also one's mind. That's hard. Also, your mind is to rest on the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is for rest. It's also for rediscovering who we are in God's world and who we are before God. So having rested from work, the Jews were freed to worship, to renew and rediscover their relationship with God, their Creator. So worship, the singing of hymns, gathering in community, listening to scriptures, this was all a part of the Jewish observation of the Sabbath. As a modern rabbi, Abraham Joshua Heschel, wrote, "On the Sabbath, we specifically care for the need of eternity planted in our own soil." The Sabbath was a time to rediscover the meaning of life on earth, for Jews to root themselves in the values that would sustain them during the 6 days of work that followed. And lastly, the Sabbath is for refreshment. So refreshing human relationships was another part of the Jewish observance of the Sabbath. So children and parents, aunts and uncles, grandparents, were to be together on this day. They were mostly together anyways in first century society, but it was time for feasting and worshiping and playing together. Since God created families, friends, communities, the Sabbath was a time for refreshing human relations where the rest of the week was focused on production and commerce. The Sabbath was a time to really focus on relationship. And enjoying God's creation was a piece of this act of refreshment. So you weren't supposed to go for a walk if it was for work, but it was okay to go for a walk if it was to enjoy God's creation. So these were all ways that the Jews kept the Sabbath holy. And here's the other thing, the tone of the Sabbath. The tone of the Sabbath was meant to be joyful. I don't know if any of you saw the movie Chariots of Fire. And Eric Little, he was a Scottish runner, and he really kept the Sabbath holy. But it was in sort of a dour Presbyterian way. I don't have anything against the Presbyterians. I'm descended from a long line of them. But it was lacking joy, it always felt to me. The way he described it, it sounded like, oh. The Jews, it was a party. They actually referred to the Sabbath as the bride or queen, and the Jews would sing songs to welcome her coming on the evening before the Sabbath arrived. And then, I don't know if you have any Jewish friends, but the tradition would be they would pass around a spice box as the Sabbath was coming to a close, and they would smell the spices so that they could be comforted because such a beautiful and such a joyful day had come to an end. Try to imagine a world today where one day a week, your job is to stop worrying. Imagine a world where one day a week, your job is to have a nap, to curl up with a good book, to enjoy a meal that is not rushed, a conversation with a friend that is leisurely. Imagine a day each week when your job is to worship your Creator with friends, to sing hymns, to hear God's word, to remember that it's not all up to you. It sounds pretty amazing, doesn't it? It sounds awesome, like Christmas. Well, this used to be how our society told us to mark Sunday. And here's the thing, it is still God's way for us to spend time. It is still a good purpose of God for our human time. And it's such an important principle that he's built that seventh day of rest right into our genetic makeup. Keeping the Sabbath in Canada today is not easy, but I know many who honor it, and I've given you a handout with just some ideas of habits that might be life-giving for you. Try not to be a consumer on the Sabbath. We're making an exception today because we've got the final day of the ladies' craft sale, the Christmas bazaar. But the purpose of not shopping on the Sabbath, and I'm guilty on Sunday sometimes running out to buy a bag of milk, but the purpose of that one is to stop consuming and producing one day a week as a sign to ourselves that we have enough, that we have enough. And make Sunday a day for hospitality. I wanted to comment on that one. Back when I was doing some freelance writing, I interviewed one of the ladies who wrote a Mennonite cookbook. And she told me, it's called Mennonite Girls Can Cook. It's a great name for a cookbook. And she told me about something called FASPA. Has anybody heard of FASPA? All right. It's a Christian tradition for the Mennonites, and it refers to the Sunday meal. And on Sunday, the Mennonites always cook. They prepare a simple soup or something, often the night before, and they double it. So that on Sunday, after church, they invite a stranger who's visited the community, somebody who has, or a friend in the community for a meal. And we're really bad at hospitality, me and Mike, because our house is usually such a mess and we're kind of embarrassed. But we have found that when we let go of our standards around house cleaning and have people over, it is such a joy. So take some time to read through that list and to think about some ways that perhaps God is challenging you to bless you in your observance of a day of rest. In what ways are you already there are practices that you are already keeping that are honoring to God. I would say the very fact that you are here is pleasing to God and a way of honoring his purposes for time. But are there ways in your lives that God is speaking a healing word? What is God saying to you this day? Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving God, we have come to worship you this day on your holy day of rest. We have all the time that we need to sing your praises and to receive your healing touch in our lives. We thank you that you have made us not just for work, but for rest. We confess those times where we have ignored your call to rest. We give thanks for those times where through rest you renew us and recreate us for your world. Bless now this time that we have set aside for worship of you, and renew us, Lord, as we rediscover our relationship to you as your creatures. And we pray these things with grateful hearts in your Son's name. Amen.